Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're your sweeties.
And we're live. Great.
Hi, hello, and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of Bad TV. We are Pat, Dylan, and Ruby.
Hi.
We are joined by the lovely dynamic duo that is DocuSweeties. Hello to you two.
Hello. Thank you guys so much. Lovely, lovely, lovely to be here. Love a Bad TV collab. You guys are hilarious.
Love a DocuSweeties collab. You guys are hilarious. Mm-hmm. Hey, Rubes, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I have a foster puppy and she's leaving tomorrow. So
Don't let
that affect your performance though.
I'm just happy that I'm here with you guys to lift me, if you will.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And lift we will, because how could we not? We are talking about part one of they don't call this a reunion, do they?
Mm-mm. No, it's a tell all.
They call it a tell all. Mm-hmm. And that is like, it kind of makes sense to call it a tell-all, because the most striking thing about these kind of end of season cast gatherings is that they're all kind of at each other's throats the entire night. I mean, they tell all.
I find this fascinating. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because you kind of follow them on Instagram, some of the talent. Isn't it interesting what talent hates each other?
Yeah.
And they kind of like fight it out during the tell-alls. And you're like, why does Tim hate,
So weird. It's like a bunch of, and sorry for the dark comparison, but it's like a bunch of amputees mocking each other for missing certain limbs. Like, it's just, you're all such, what are we doing here? Having a ivory tower over anyone on the cast of 90 Day Single Life. Sorry. Someone else speak.
No, you're so bright. First of all, incredible thing that they have like showed us is this Debbie versus Debbie, which we all in our minds thought immediately should happen. And their voices, it's like Carly and Miss Debbie. You know, it's just like, you're just like, what is this? It is crazy as this juggernaut spills forward into the future that we have all of these crazy characters and like what they will do with them and how they'll pair them in the future. And a Debbie versus Debbie showdown was imminent, and they knew it and they brought it to us.
Now you're talking about Colty's mom, Debbie, versus
I thought that was evident when I said Colty. No.
No, it was.
Forgive me.
Just also side notes, a little tangential. We had so much fun when we were at Kate Casey's Irvine Improv show,
Pat. Very fun catching up with you there. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Sounds that way.
How has the season been for you two? Have you enjoyed this season of 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life?
Loved it. I'm mad that they gave us extra characters that we didn't ask for. Tim, why is he here? He is not on this show, yet he has been a prominent figure in the Vanessa, or whatever her name is, Veronica storyline. Yeah. And it's just unfortunate. And then Jamal trying to fight him was just so weird, because it was like, Jamal, if this were real life, you could literally take Tim up, ball him, and just like throw him. He's so far from being athletic. And I just felt like it felt like we were being duped a little bit by having Tim slid on in. It was unnecessary.
Tim's physicality reminds me of that plastic bag in American Beauty
that just floats around.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he reminds me of the alien from American Dad. So a lot of American things.
Right.
100%. He reminds me of a parakeet that's dying.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, Tim is like the pickup artist. Tim is Mystique from the pickup artist. Right. You know, like I loved that. Other thing that was like a huge source of a contention for The Single Life for me was the promise, I thought, of a single fun Johnny from Patrick and Thais. Like Johnny being on Single Life was like a aha moment for me. I was like, oh, he's fun. He's kind of crazy. Boston accent. He's going to be like going to bars and trying to pick up women. But instead, my loves, we get the most boring season of him being in a relationship for some reason. And also it being a very sleepy relationship, you know, and by sleepy, I mean, they're on depressants together.
Yeah.
Matt Shaw has never had any footage that he was not afraid to just air it.
Yeah.
Like that storyline by any other reality TV account should have just been deleted or not aired. Am I right?
No.
I mean, absolutely. I know a lot of people love Crazy Debbie. But I don't care about her storyline. Like, it's hard to make fun of her because she's kind of doing a cartoon version of whatever she thinks is going to be entertaining herself.
Yeah.
So I could have done without their storyline.
You mean you didn't love Ruben the Cuban? Oh, Julian, Mama's here. You going to help Mama with her bags? You didn't love that?
Oh, my God.
No.
That's uncanny. And Ruby, speak on Tyrae, your favorite person, Tyrae.
Okay. I was real. This is what I'll say. Two things. This is my takeaway from the top. Tyrae and Tim. Tim looked the healthiest he's ever looked. He was at, like, currently decaying from inside. Mm-hmm. So that was great. And Tyrae, dare I say, had a little sense of confidence about him. I don't know from where. I don't know why. I loved it. He has made me so unhappy and anxious and sad. And this time he made me none of those things. So honestly, this was the best showing he has ever given me. It wasn't, you know, it was what it was.
I have to say this.
Single life.
I hate to beat up on this cast, but I was a little triggered from seeing them all on the dais. What it reminded me of, you guys tell me if this was your school experience. Right around the second grade, they start splitting kids up into two groups, the smart kids and then the lesser smart kids. The smart kids get to go do like math and English. And then the lesser smart kids like play with Play-Doh and pick their nose all day. I was in the lesser smart class and these felt like my classmates. And I'm triggered by seeing them on stage. Ooh. And now I talk about them.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I it's so funny because remember how I used to have those little beads and you'd put them in something and you get an iron, you melt them down, it would make something. They would all melt together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was playing with that over the weekend with my nieces and nephews, and I just realized during that moment that they were not edible. This entire 40 years I've been on God's green earth, I thought they were edible because some kid was like, they're made from corn, and so I used to eat them. So when I tried to tell that to my niece and nephew, they had to tell me, bitch, you're wrong. Like, you can't eat these. They're plastic. And I put my mouth on the plastic. Anyway, so I was one of those kids. That's that story. I also want to say, Ruby, you're right about Tyrae. Tyrae, where Tyrae had the best single life showing. Again, opposite of Johnny. Johnny's in a relationship and it's boring. Tyrae gave us everything we needed. He gave us a visit. He gave us a visit to a different locale that was not just about him. It wasn't like his trip. It was like he was a normal tourist in a world and he tried to meet people and he went on dates. That is what this show is about.
Yes.
Not like he gave us sweats. He gave us like uncontrollable laughter.
That's what Matt Sharp and producers did. When Tyrae says he's like made a lot of ground and come a long way. And I say, producers pushed you in front of complete strangers where you could sweat all over them and then ask for their phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in a bit of a state of emergency. Just
you don't have your notes.
Just want to let people know. So what I've done is I've gone in my 90-day notes and I've written all of the notes out. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I've watched Love is Blind, evidently. I'm thinking it's Love is Blind. And I've deleted all of the 90-day notes and written bunch of notes on Love is Blind.
You have a great memory.
Great memory. Pat's going to do most of the hosting today.
We'll share hosting duties. Okay, so I guess, here's another thing with Matt Sharp in this production. They have zero respect for their quote-unquote talent. Think about the dressing rooms, which were essentially shower curtains with no privacy at all.
Yeah.
When they go to have lunch, their lunch is served in styrofoam takeout containers.
Mm-hmm.
He cares. He could care less for these people.
I'll tell you, if this was Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child, she would have walked away. Oh, was it Michelle? No, it was No,
it was Kelly Rowland.
Kelly. Yeah, Kelly Rowland walked away from a Good Morning segment. Remember this? And she left Hoda Honey in the greens. I don't know. Because yeah, they had given her a really bad room. This is also, yeah, it's Sean, you know. Kelly. Yeah. Sean has a gilded room in Matt Sharp's like production office. Can you imagine what Sean's like dressing room looks like? Sean, for this tell-all, we obviously just are hot off of the season 10 tell-all, is a different Sean. Sean, for the season 10 tell-all, hated every second of her life, honey. And she almost wasn't going to come back. And they threw money at her. And she sits down at this tell-all for single life, a different woman. She is on cloud nine. Her seeing Chantel is like seeing one of her besties from college. Like, Chantel! I mean, she is like, you know, it's like, who are you? You've never seen you happier.
Yeah. I do want to ask you this before we get started. Do you cover all 90-day shows?
God says yes.
Yes.
My God.
We do regular 90-day, 90-day HEA. The only thing we don't do is Diaries and Pillow Talk.
Good.
And great. Right. But we will do, we don't do some of the spinoffs. Like, none of the spinoffs. Like, we won't do the Darcy Girls. We won't do the Family Chantel. But any of the 90-day fiancé, single life, HEA before the 90 days, which is the best franchise in my personal opinion. And even 90 day like Caribbean, we'll do that as well.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys ever, that's great.
And the other way, 90 day, the other way as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So saw a post. Who was the girl who her husband now lives in a box in the living room? And then she went to have sex with a Romanian porn star. And
I know who you're talking about.
This was like box in the living room, Romanian porn.
Yeah, her ex-husband, he died, and then they cremated him and he put him in a box for the kids to talk to.
Oh, Amanda.
So Amanda now was that guy who get out of here.
I don't want it to be. It has to be fake. They keep sending pictures of each other back and forth. I know it. Amanda was a villain of a Lyda, like Lyda kind of persuasion. Like, I don't remember anyone hating anyone on this show. Obviously, people hate Angela and people, you know, because she's like abusive, and that's another thing we can talk about. I know, but yeah, I mean, Amanda is hated viscerally by the 90 Day Universe, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah. She annoyed the hell out of
us. She has an odious quality to her. Mm-hmm. It's deep down there somewhere.
Do you guys talk about season 10? Did you guys talk about 90 Day season 10 that just happened?
Who's on that? We kind of come in this world.
They don't
watch. No, they don't know what they're missing. I know.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead, Rubes.
I was going to say, I know that this show can sometimes drag, and we're like, Jesus Christ, this is just, it's making me want to stop. It's making me want to stop. Mm-hmm. The season of other 90 Day that Dylan and Pat did not watch, dear God above, it was, they brought, and that's all.
Yeah, my favorite franchise is The Other Way. I love seeing mentally ill Americans go to like war-torn countries and stuff to find love.
With no running water.
That's great. Oh, my mom actually died yesterday because of the typhoon. Welcome.
Chris, who was that guy that was hearing impaired that went to Thailand?
Yeah.
David and Sheila.
He killed her mom.
He barreled up and down those stairs, honey, with an American weight that they have not seen there in a hot ass minute. And it wasn't him. You know who honestly it was? It was Matt Sharp, because it wasn't Haddam David. It was all of the production going up and down those like stairs. They deserve to they should have built a whole new village. I mean,
people had a debate in the neighborhood. What is worse, a torrent of godlike wrath from the skies or heavy Americans going up and down your steps? The debate still rages on this day like that storm. The problem with the franchise, and we've talked about it before, these episodes can't be almost the length of Jim Cameron movies. Right?
Oh my gosh. So, there's also what is funnier, David crying at the airport when Sheila leaves, or Natalie crying because what's his face won't give him her sperm?
I think it's Natalie, just because I relish seeing Natalie cry in a really sick way. I'm very taxed by her. She's such a lunatic. She's such a toxic human being. She's so delusional.
Yes.
That I don't know.
And for a little tease here, at the tail end, Chris and Wah are going to give us the inside scoop on the happenings of this cast. And there are some bombshells
later on. Literal lost limbs. My God.
Okay. Yeah. And if you're interested in that, you might have to go to DocuSweeties and listen to our podcast where we talk about that stuff. So...
And leave 5 stars.
And leave 5 stars.
Wait, one more thing before we get. Oh, can I say one more thing? Because we haven't talked about. Did you think that Did you think that Chantel deserved to be on Single Life, or did you think that she thought she was on her own series as a spinoff that was like a trip, like of a Bravo Housewives kind of like trip, where she thought she would just bring all her like friends and like her fashions and like it was. Anyway, I thought that Chantel was unwatchable.
She has always been unwatchable, except for the first season when she visited the DR and Pedro's sister called her a bitch. And she said, "Did you just call me a bitch? Slut ass bitch ass whore ass slut."
Yeah.
And from right there, she had me. But then they did that ridiculous spinoff, which I can't believe they did 3 seasons of, because it's just her and Pedro fighting.
Four. Put some respect on their names. Four. Okay. The Family Chantel did that. It's only been the Darcys and the Family Chantel and maybe one other group that's been able to have their own spinoff and be relatively successful. So put some respect on their name.
Have you guys seen 1,000-Pound Sisters?
Yes.
No. Oh my God. I heard Trixie and Katya talking about it and I looked up a trailer. They were getting married and Tammy.
Do they love them? The queens love 1,000-Pound Sisters?
I think Trixie loves 1,000-Pound Sisters. Katya didn't seem to know what the fuck was going on.
Anyways, it's great.
The proceeding.
Okay. Sure. Okay. So the show structure is really broken down to we get the getting out of the SUVs, then we get talking shit in those quote unquote dressing rooms.
Right.
Then Sean will do the introductions, and then we get to 3 storylines, which
it's really it's like 2, 3 or 4 things.
It was Veronica and Jamel. And then we got to Tyra a little bit.
Sorry, is it Jamel?
What's the name? Jamel? Sorry,
Jamel Monáe? No. Is that his name? Sorry.
Is it Jamal?
There we go.
Jamal.
Yeah. What did I say?
Jamel.
I said Jamal.
Well, no, you did not. Sorry. Excuse me. Check.
I guess we have a recording.
We have the receipts live.
Roll the tape. It's very Love is Blind. That's a very Love is Blind. Like, roll the tape. Get the receipt. Yeah.
Okay, so Chantel arrives and she says she gives no fucks. Now, to Chris, you brought this up. She is definitely at another tier on this show. I think if anybody was going to get a nicer dressing room, it would have been her. I don't think we saw her in her dressing room, which means I think she got her own room.
Mm-hmm.
Or they
she
just
came out of the black curtains like everybody else. She came out of the black curtains. Cass was talking shit about her. They were like, "Well, where's Chantel? Did you see her makeup crew?" And I was like, "Stop hating. You can't hate from outside the club."
Yeah.
Sorry, already a sidebar. Did she embezzle $250,000 from her and Pedro's personal account?
Yes.
Who knows?
I thought she did.
She harvested those dollars, honey. That's harvesting the dollars.
I think she did all the heavy lifting, her and that insane mother of hers, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my thought on Chantel. She's pretty much a puppet for this show. She will say anything they tell her to. She's like pull a string on her back and then words come out of her mouth. She's like, forgive me, I think Wah's a fan. She's like the dumbest teddy bear ever.
No, she can't talk. She can't string a sentence together. I think that she came out, honey, and her parents were like, she's gorgeous. We'll give her titties. She'll even be hotter. And she'll just marry the hottest, most wealthiest, like, surgeon in Atlanta. And then surprise,
she's a pickup soccer playing, snail eating, unemployed person from an economically ravaged country. So it's not really working out. Sorry to cut you off.
To Chris's point, Chris, sorry, please go on. But I think, yes, she's another caliber. She could land a person of a certain status if she's ready to do that. However, I think she enjoys being on television for now.
Yeah.
Waka Flocka, maybe Waka Drake, Flocka. She won't talk about.
I don't want to talk about that. Right. I'd prefer to not. Actually,
we in fact have to.
Also, I was just imitating her when they were like, what about Drake? And she was like, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'd rather
not. You'd rather not, bitch? I'm sorry. What?
You literally just told us that you talked to Waka Flocka's mom. We just wanted to know if Drake knew how.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Flaga. Yeah, Hannibal Buress showing Lauren Conrad the beauty that is Waka Flocka is one of the greatest clips that exists on the internet. Go check it out. Okay, so do we start with Veronica?
Well, why don't we go through a couple things here? Because I thought it was interesting that, was it Ty Ray and Drunk John that find each other and they start talking smack about Chantel? And then later, I think they talk a little smack about Natalie as well.
Well, Tim, it's there was this thing at the beginning of the show where I think Tim asks Ty Ray, he's like, where do you come off being so insecure? Tim, you have so much beard dye in and you look healthier, but you still look like a tall gray or a short gray. What do you mean? Where does Ty Ray come off being insecure? This is what I'm talking about. Like, the pedestal that some of these people are on is absolutely fucking insane to me.
It's because Tim walks into the world with crazy ass outfits that he can't fathom anyone having any shame.
Right.
Because he does it. He doesn't have any. But you guys completely skipped over all of the fashions that happened when they walked in. And that's fine. This is your show. But I'm saying that
it's our show.
Tell us what we missed.
So, I mean, Debbie's outfit, John's cool outfit, the fucking mink coats that Tim and Veronica wore with the beanies.
Tim is in American Gangster mink when he shows up to this fucking
You. Acknowledge it.
They're mob wives. No, they are mob wives. They were 100%. Like the TikTokers love mob wives. We'll all wear our furs. And Tim was like, Jack, I get to be, you know, like,
I finally get to pull this one off the rack. And Ruby, are you a fan of fur?
Love fur. Only real.
How Canadian you and Anna
Wintour.
So a couple other moments before we get into the actual tell-all. So John and Ty Ray, they make some small talk. A few swipes of Chantel, already covered that. Next, Ty Ray goes on attack of Natalie, and he says she wants a Roman gladiator to fight over her as she jumps out of a castle with Rapunzel hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was shocked he couldn't squeeze in a WALL-E movie reference in that insane statement.
Yeah.
Poor Ty Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was astute. I was like, Ty Ray, read, honey. I thought it was a read that of Ty Ray proportions. And I also feel like it's exactly, I would say one more thing, like she has a Disney-esque quality to her. Also, I mean, I love her delusion a lot. Like, Dylan, I love how much she really is. Like, she thinks that she is stunningly gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that is like, where you look at her and she can be a siren that will just put a spell on you with her eyes.
Yeah,
and so she makes sure her eyes are like extra, extra lined out for you so that the minute you stare in, you're just like, you're a goner. Like you know, when she looks at you, she's like, you will be mine. You know what it is? It's wild.
As though there's this expectation that men are going to crash their ships into her shores and then rather than die, cast her in an upcoming horror film.
Mike,
you know, one thing about Natalie, I enjoyed Mike in the season finale episode when she wanted sperm and he's like, no, how do you get out of your mind? You're an insane, needy, narcissistic person with no loyalty. Yeah. Like, I can't stand Mike. I call him Sad Mike because he lives in a trailer next to a guy that has no teeth and, and who would ever want to live there. But as much as I can't stand him and he's lame, I love how he did that to her because she so deserved that.
I think one of the greatest failings of the season is, Rubes, were you about to speak?
No, you go. I was going to say, I don't think that Mike is unhealthy enough to have been sitting in Scrim for the last however many years, like waiting for the moment that he could like give it to her.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think he walked away from that conversation and was like, oh my God. Like, I don't think he's thrilled with himself.
Chris, what is the background? So there is a rumor that he really wasn't even into her, but he was doing a favor to a friend to get to marry her. Have you heard those rumors?
No, but we do know that he met her through that thing. I think that from what we say, I 100% think that man loved her. Like that man was obsessed with her. I do think that he loved her. Now, I do think that she's crazy. What I thought was weird is,
who has the emergency happening?
Honey, they find you? They found
New York
you.
City.
Ruby, it's been nice. It's been good. I hope that foster dog is okay. I love you. But yeah, it was weird because One other thing is that if you are following Mike for the past year of 2023, we're in 2024, it's March. In 2023, he kept talking. He kept showing his girlfriend on his Instagram filtered pictures. She has brown hair. On our podcast, we called her of a brown-haired ethnicity. We don't know exactly what it is. Maybe Latin. Sure. He has been with her the entire time. So when Natalie is like, Mike, are you with someone? He says no, but he wants to move on. And she's like, well, you're not with anyone, then who cares? And we're all like, yeah, you are. You've been posting this girl. And then after the single life episode airs, he posts that girl again. Again, same filtered picture. That man, I mean, so to me, I'm like,
New York City.
Yeah, honey. To me, I'm like, are you trying to leave the door open a little bit? Why? Why aren't you saying you're with someone? What a beautiful thing. Like, Natalie, I'll never be with you. I'm in a very happy relationship with someone. And you know what? She's pregnant, bitch. Like, he could have took it up a notch, but he was like, I need to move on finally. And it's like, you need to move on. You have not been together for 3 years. At one point, she's like, yeah, after COVID, you know, really, it really hurt our relationship. And I was like, COVID, you think hurt your relationship? It was COVID? Because I feel like they were broken up like 7 years before COVID. Like, she's been in Florida for the past 10 years. I can't do math.
Chris, couple thoughts on that. One, Matt Sharp and production could say they could tell these people to control their social media to keep the storylines kind of consistent. Secondly, this could have been filmed as late as 2 years ago. I always, ever since I was a little kid, I get obsessed when I see credits run on a TV show and I look at what year the filming was done. And when this season ends, it says copyright 2022.
What? That's so long ago.
So
wait
long
a minute. Ago. This is what the question that you did, Chris didn't answer. Natalie and Mike share a godchild. That's what you guys wanted to know. That is how they met. They both are the godparents of their friend's mutual friend's child. And that's how they met to be able to propose in Paris, and which is why Mama loves Mike.
Mama
Annie got her out of that place and now looks like a pancake.
We need to make sure that that couple stays so healthy and so well, because Natalie can't be parenting anyone anytime soon.
No. And I think one of the greatest failings of this season was Natalie not being hired by that chiropractic place of business, because I really wanted to see her rolling calls, smoking cigarettes indoors, fighting with patrons. I mean, there was a lot of gold to be mined from that.
Yeah.
But she is too good to work. Also, I don't think she's hireable. I think after that interview, he was like, yeah, no, it's not gonna, your resume is in a completely different language. So I actually can't do anything.
And you don't have it with you. So even if I could read it, you can't.
Right.
I don't like how production messes with storylines like Natalie and Josh's. It could just be that he lives with his family in Arizona. Why fake that he is buying her a car and setting her up with that apartment, which he's clearly not?
Why fake that she's in Los Angeles?
Because that was filmed in Long Beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all so stupid. Yeah. Like, it's like the little lies that don't need to be lies.
No, you know, it's pathological. It doesn't make any sense. It has a sting to it that's not enjoyable. But I think the first thing that we cover in the tell-all is Veronica and Jamal.
Yes. That's what we get to first. And Luis, and by the way, Luisa, is it Luisa?
Luisa.
Yes. And Tim, of course, we discussed this, I think, off air. Why is Tim on this season so much?
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see Luisa so prominently here. And it's clearly that it's basically going to be Jamal and Luisa versus Tim and Veronica.
Yeah. And I thought that Jamal and Luisa won the day, because it's very clear that Jamal and Luisa were quite earnestly repulsed by the TV-ism that Veronica and Tim traffic in. It sounds like they can't fucking stand each other, but they stay together for the cheddar.
Now, did you guys know that, Chris and Walt? Because that to me was like, I was like, whoa, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought that they were IRL like friends at least, or close.
Yeah.
Personally, I couldn't care less about them. And so I don't really think about how they are and what their lives are. But, you know, I didn't think that they had any contention except for, so the one thing that was weird for me and just knowing them is that, yes, when they first had their first fight, the fight where Tim and Jamal this season, you know, and Jamal's like, what you won't do is you're not going to stand up in my face, you know, and what you're not going to do is call me a bad dad or whatever. When Jamal in front of Tim was like, I know the truth, you're a bad dad, that did raise my eyebrow. I was like, oh, honey, what have you been hearing or whatever? Because to me, that they didn't immediately go to Veronica, that Tim wouldn't look at Veronica and be like, bitch, what have you been saying about me and how I've raised the child that's not mine? I just want to hear from, what have you told the streets of how I have somehow like disappointed you and your child that I have no bearing towards? Like, I don't know. That part was interesting to me, right?
Great point. And when we recap that episode, I brought up, why isn't Veronica standing up to Tim? She's known Tim for 10 years or longer. She's known Jamal for 18 months. Like, he's talking shit about someone who helped you out.
Yeah. Because they're like best friend high school people, like, who talk shit about each other. They've known each other for so long. They're never going to not be in each other's lives. And they've internally bonded themselves to this show and this franchise.
Yeah.
But they are going to talk shit about each other. It happens. Now, at this bold age of myself, and I'm the same age as these bold people, I would have just not been friends. But they must have some kind of something that's going on. Because at that point, I don't want to be friends with somebody that I'm low-key talking shit about. Let me tell you now, Jamal is the bitch for trying to jump in and insert himself into a relationship's going on 20 years. Like, that's a rookie move on his part, to think that he could, from a night of tequila, have an opinion and tell Tim what Tim did when Jamal was still in elementary school. Sit your dumb ass down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because nobody even believes this situation to begin with. And then him and Louisa coming out thinking they're spilling the tea. I was looking at them the same way that Tim and Veronica were looking at them, was like, you guys are non-entities, and who cares if you're going to come on this show? Like, who cares? Who cares? Thank you for spilling the tea, Jamal and Louisa.
I think the reason why, you know how you said, like, you don't want to be friends with people that you actively hate? You know how you said that?
Yes, I said that.
I think that's why you're not on the show, because the show is reserved for psychopaths. Absolute psychopaths.
That will say things like this. So this is what Jamal and Louisa said, that this was the shockers of the backstabbing. Tim's 43 and lives with roommates. He's a narcissist and he only eats and drinks Mountain Dew, which is why he looks like a dying parakeet. very immature on both their parts to basically, because those are nothing burgers. It is a little sad to be 43 with a roommate, but anyway, what I thought was crazy was when Jamal claimed that he had the receipts and Tim's a sweetheart, Tim fired back and said, do you want to fuck me, Jamal? And Louisa said, you wish.
That was the most Adam McKay bit ever. He was like, he was like, I got the receipts, sweetheart. And he's like, sweetheart, do you want to fuck me? And he's like, no, sweetheart. It was just this awkward, like,
yes.
And by the way, call me crazy, but I believe both were accusing Tim of being gay.
Yeah. So
what is his story?
They were accusing him of wearing eyeliner, check. They were accusing him of trying on mascara and not actually curling his eyelashes, check. They were accusing him of wearing textures that don't belong, check. They were accusing him of a lot of things. It doesn't matter. The Sharpies, the people at the Matt Sharp production, they love Tim. And I loved Veronica's dress. So here we are. And Step until off. We can get rid of Tim and Armando's husband, we're stuck in this limbo. Some folks
you
somewhere
don't like Armando's
like
husband?
No, oh Kenny, my God. Enough.
Kenny, no. Enough.
See, I'm
Armando,
not
into the world. How come you don't want How come you want us to have another kid? Like, I don't want you. Can't do it.
Yeah. Well, so okay, split decision. Maybe
a couple more beats here.
Maybe Veronica. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Tim, when Tim came on, Tim was given to us as a rich person who had a very extensive, detailed gun business. His business is like artistic guns, right?
Oh, wow.
It has made him a lot of money. I know, I'm like, that has made him so much. Like, he was billed to us as very financially stable.
Right.
One of the reasons why he could take care of the baby and all that stuff that wasn't his. And the why he affords the eyeliner, you know, like, it's from the ground. And I don't understand why, he has roommates. It's
maybe he's also friends. maybe he needs friends. People make financial decisions at a certain age, and they choose to have roommates if they can.
Right. But
what is he going to do? Live in a house by himself? I feel like he would be truly, he might self-harm if he did that. I don't want that.
Maybe he wants like a Caligula type fuck fest at all times in his apartment.
Is he a horny person? Is he a sexual person? He wouldn't even touch Louisa. And I mean, Louisa's the hottest thing, one of the hottest things I've ever seen.
No. You don't think she's hot? No. See, this is where I don't want to get that misconstrued. We're being homophobic, not saying that she's not pretty. We're saying that he's not into women.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right. That's right.
But Dylan, you didn't watch his first season, which I kind of liked him a lot. He was a little weird, but yes, he was sold to us as someone who's very wealthy and successful. He flew down to South America. The girl that he was with wanted to have sex with Jennifer? Him, and he would not do it.
Also, he had a daughter. He has a weird savior complex, and like I don't know. I want him to live his truth, whatever that is. Tim, wear your fur, wear your boots.
Can I push back
on Waz's theory that maybe he's a wealthy guy that just likes friends to be because it's lonely in that mansion? Tim hates people. He hates the show. He hates talking. You can tell how he talks because everything is a struggle. He doesn't want to do anything. I think he wants to be left alone.
When they made him play pickleball.
Oh, he ran right into that net. How? He was
in white denim.
How?
Oh, magic.
He needs some like friends to help him, honey. And it can't be Veronica. Veronica hasn't done him any good. She just drives around in that Range Rover with those athletic wear tights all goddamn day and dates men that are way too young for her and can't make one good decision. The fact that she couldn't tell that her relationship with Tim was incredibly toxic and would be for the rest of their lives to anyone that'd be involved with him, the fact that she couldn't see that at her seasoned age didn't give her a good look. But yeah, let's move on.
Well, I would say just on a final note, they go back and forth, and it's like most things. It's Jamal, Veronica. They're probably both terrible and miscommunication, and they should never be together. All right. Tyrae, he shared that he learned a lot on his 90-day single life journey for love. And he says that his biggest fear in life now is rejection.
Yeah.
And definitely not a massive heart attack.
Yeah, no, and there are a couple people that
I laughed like that. No, I didn't mean to laugh. Take that.
There are a couple of people on this dais that are so insulting and so supportive at the same time. Like, you know, Miss Debbie is such an ally of Tyrae. And Natalie is such an ally of Tyrae in this really bizarre kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say like white supremacist. It's just like a weird, like, she's like, you are clean. Because of the way you are clean. And then you got John, who's like, man, you can have a little sex here or there, you know?
It's a lot.
And then you got Tim, who's like,
John's like, come on, get him a whore. Get him a slut. Get him a hookup.
Well, you know what's so funny is I just read somewhere Diana's brother or one of the royals, honey, one of the royals, one of them like in Europe just got done saying that he went to Italy with his family and at 13 paid a woman. And I...
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about that? Can like... there's
Yeah, of course.
Hey, gents. Can have a honest conversation?
Yeah, I had a friend whose dad got him a hooker for his 14th birthday.
Oh my God.
That's child abuse. That's
too young. I would say that's child abuse too.
Let's not tell that story. Let's move on.
No, I want to know the story. No, what is the con? Who were they? What kind of culture are they in? What year was it?
Probably 1992.
Okay. Were they abroad when he did it or was it like a good old American?
No, he just hired a dancer and then we all left. By the way, we were all there for like a stripper because he threw a party for him. And then we left and then he came back to school. 14th
birthday? It was a birthday party?
Yeah, it was like a night for that. It was no other family members. It was just him and his friends.
And you win the award for should be prosecuted father of the year.
Guys, I got to tell you, that was a thing. I mean, I'm older than you guys, but that happened.
That's why I'm asking.
We got it.
Wait, and the royals are, you know, the royals are.
Where is Kate?
Really ugly people.
They're filthy people. I mean, where is Kate?
They got funny teeth and big red puffy faces.
Yeah, I mean, they're perceived. They think they're masters of the universe, so they can just treat people like hot pockets. You know, it's not right. It's really not right.
They'll be paying for the rest of their life, but yes.
So the best part of the show was Sarpa or Sarper. Mm-hmm. How do you say his name?
Sarpa.
The minute they say we have a person.
We have a person who's had sex with 2,500. Tarper, Sarper, Sarker.
He's like a government body.
Oh, I love Sarper. I love him. I just miss him so much. Maybe it's because I'm like actively seeking a dom at this point in my life.
Right. Yeah, me too. What is Sarper's story? Because he's clearly unwell.
Well, he's a pig.
What do you mean?
One thing in his life.
Dylan, you don't know Sarper's story?
No, I don't know Sarper.
What?
Guys, you have to listen, okay?
I'm so mad.
Okay, we're listening.
Okay, your lane is 90 Day. Our lane is a car crash trying to drive on many different roads. So mostly we do Below Deck. We've jumped into 90 Day here or there, but we cannot do... I have too short a fuse, and it makes me even more cynical and existential than I already am when I watch the show.
We had to stop doing Love After Lockup because Dylan got so depressed watching it.
No, that's not true. That's gaslighting. You were the one that got depressed. My thing is, if we're going to go for it, let's go all the way. Let's smoke the cigarettes and let's drink the vodka and orange juice in front of rusted gardening equipment at the trailer. But 90 Day just doesn't.
Maybe it doesn't quite go as bad as bad TV.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't quite go. It definitely fits under the umbrella of bad TV. But Sarper's story is what? He's some kind of
genie. Let me tell you more about it. Sarper is a man from, is it Turkey? I think so. He's a Turkish man who got into a relationship with an American woman named Shekinah, who used to be Amish. Shekinah has had lots of facial surgery the same way Sarper has. She and him have got together, and Shekinah was the 2,501 woman that he had sex with, and he decided to forsake all other women. He thinks of himself as a playboy. He's like 43 years old. He accidentally had a baby when he was 18 and never saw from that child again. Now, he thinks that he is the manliest man, and him and Shekinah have a low-key dom sub relationship where he weighs her. He tells her what to wear. He's very into the visual. They love to put filters on every photo that they take. And he is really bad at being in a relationship, but knows how to sex you up. Flip it up, smack it, rub it down. Okay. And so he was brought in order to help Tyrae and give some advice He's so cringy and bad and says the wrong things at all time. And then he's like, what is word in English? You are slut. Bitch. No.
Okay. So there is a phenomenon that happens. I don't know how women perceive cocksmen, but men, it's so shocking that the guys that get a lot of women, sometimes it makes sense. You know, you're Leo DiCaprio's. It's getting very creepy now, but that makes sense. But within like your local communities, you're like, that guy? How are you doing that? And when we break down the sneaking tiger method, it begs the question, how have you ever been with a woman in your entire life? How are you not more of a virgin than Tyra?
Let me break down that technique for the audience. Okay, this is when you ask a nice girl out for a date to go out to dinner. Yeah. In the restaurant, you ask the maitre d' if you can sit down next to the bathroom, which is gross, but it's intended so that you're the second grossest thing that's sitting next to her.
Right.
And then when you come back after taking a shit, you kiss her on the neck, and then you pour something in her drink. I think he like motioned like sprinkle a roofie in there. Right. Yeah, he's a real dirtbag.
Yeah, no, he's a bad guy. But I just don't know what woman would be like attracted to that, like
a former Amish Kardashian wannabe type of woman who doesn't necessarily want to be actively involved in her children's life anymore. That kind of woman likes her food to be weighed, likes her workouts to be tailored, and likes her men to not get along with her sister when she flies across the world to meet them. That's that that kind of woman will do.
Yeah. Okay, got it. All
right, before we move on, Chris Wah Ruby, who was this is not our first pickup artist cast member on this show. There was one about 4 years ago where not Big Head Ed. No, someone flew out and he actually did a class with like three women and the girl was so turned off at him teaching.
That's right.
You saw that one?
I remember that.
I think he might have been Indian or something, but he's like teaching a class like, all right, if you want to get
I know who you're talking about. The Australian. Yeah. He's like Australian.
Oh, yeah. And Avery, he's with like Kai or that's Zai.
The
or
other
something.
Way.
That's right.
Silver. The daughter's name is Silver.
Yes.
The mother's name is...
She's a weed. She made the weed salad. Remember, she was like, look at this fun salad.
Avery and...
Yes, right. Bleh.
He has a child now with another woman. Avery and...
Weird.
Bleh. She was a huge MAGA. She's huge MAGA. She was like anti-vaxxer. She was like a huge...
Ash.
She was,
Ash.
Oh, really? Gosh. Oh, wow.
That's so crazy because Ruby's huge MAGA anti-vaxxer too.
For everyone
anything else on Sarpa? He should be in hell somewhere.
Can I just talk about Debbie's repulsion and revulsion? Too.
Please.
Debbie is mortified by the way this man.
You go fuck him then. Go fuck. You go fuck, Tyler.
Just because he isn't open to any port in a storm doesn't mean that he's not a good guy. Like, Debbie
had too many opinions this episode. And when she got onto Chantel, I was like, Miss Ma'am, go on ahead and take it down a notch. You need to talk to your scamming ass son or your son who likes to tell your fucking business to anyone who will listen.
Oh, no, my gosh.
Yep.
LVP of the season, Julian. Get the fuck out of here, Julian. Quit being a fucking rat. You're the worst. You're a narc and a cop.
Well, I completely agree with you. Little Debbie goes a long way. Too much Debbie on this.
But she's just like a judgmental kind of bitch this evening. Like, I when she looked at Chantel and was like, you are worth more. And Chantel was like, good Lord. Like, Debbie, what are you, who asked? Right. Sean didn't, so no speaking.
Speaking of Sean didn't ask, but yeah, when the part of the storm comment comes up, that's when John goes full Goodwill Hunting. He's like, well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a port in a storm, but you know, we could sprinkle a little,
a little bit
flawless Boston accent. So
what when he's like, the minute you hit that hot honey, I mean, I was like, oh my God, I can't.
What are we wrapping?
We got Chantella. What's that?
John is the best when he is commenting on other people, and John is horrible when it's just John. Like,
dude,
his life is boring. His choice is horrible. He just is basically sleeping on the couches of his more successful brothers his whole life.
Yeah.
And then he's like, God bless. We've all had histories. This one's like, yeah, did a lot of coke, did a lot of partying, and now I'm in Vegas. Great idea, you know. Yeah. And then he's like, you know what, I'll move in with this person I just met. Why? Because he has nowhere else to fucking go.
Yeah.
And she's like, now that you're here, let's get married. And it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, you want a broke nut? Why? I mean, what is this? What is happening here?
You know, in terms of like interesting characters, so like the I did a bunch of blow and slept with a bunch of women and now I play slots, like that's not that interesting. Contrasted to Tim, who is an extraterrestrial who adorns guns and wears mink, like that's much more engaging than just a Boston loser. But we love John.
Yeah, kind of. I like what he did to Sparkles. Okay, Chantel, there's not much there. We get right into who tried to get in her DMs and Waka Flocka hit her up.
Waka
and
Flocka.
Hung out, and she doesn't have much to say about Drake following.
Drake's been, I've heard Drake getting in a lot of DMs lately.
Mm-hmm.
I keep seeing these. I don't, you know, you can't trust anything you see on the internet these days. What with the deceit? But I keep seeing screenshots of Drake getting in people's DMs. You've got the Bobby Altov stuff. It's like, what is going on?
Do you guys ever remember on Vice, their early years, Vice was like an amazing network. They used to have a series where people comedians would like recount crazy Hollywood night stories.
Oh yeah, and they would animate it.
And they'd animate it. Did you, do you guys ever remember that?
Oh, that they sounds great one, though.
They did one about Drake. Anyway, so
I just remember their very brave niche global news program where they were like, tonight at 8, the war over an Ecuadorian lizard's venom. And you're just like, what is going on? Like, what?
Yeah. I just like Action Bronson.
Yeah.
All right. So Sean Robinson runs down Chantel's must-haves. A guy must be tall, fought in the Punic War, muscular, and have a huge cock.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, my God. The Punic War.
Who? You got her. You
Roman.
Got her.
No, Greek. Roman? No, Greek.
Roman.
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 I can't believe that she got these friends to travel with her and do the worst makeup I have ever seen, and they got a free grease treat from it. I could not. I every time I saw her face, I was like, she's so. I think she's really she's a beautiful gorgeous. Girl.
Yeah,
stunning. Like her face is. You could literally put nothing on it, and just like it's beautiful or stunning. Whatever. And they would do the craziest eyeshadow, one look eyeshadow with no definition, not one little like blend, nothing, just as the queens would say, garage door eyeshadow, and then just eyeliner, honey, that like doesn't, it's just, this man made her look crazy and got a free trip to Greece.
Yeah.
And also, this is a side note, they are now at the tell all having their own hair and makeup and having it be a whole thing where they like are spending so much money to look the best. And I'm like, then how come you brought this man with you to Greece, honey? What happened? What happened there?
Yeah.
Well, it's a jack of all trades, master of none. I believe her hairstylist was simultaneously her twerk instructor. Mm-hmm. You know. How can you be an expert at two things?
Yeah, and those two crafts are so demanding and so challenging that you would need to dedicate yourself to one or the other. You can't really. I mean, have you attempted to twerk? I mean, seeing you or me twerk would be one of the most pathetic things ever witnessed by humanity. But
twerk while making olive oil. Twerk while making olive oil. That this isn't the 1800s. And I said, bitch, olive oil is older than that. What are you like? This her brain that can't go that. I was like, girl, the slaves were still slaves 200 years ago.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You mean BC? Before Christ.
Yeah.
Before Crisco.
There are olive trees older than that time period.
Mm-hmm. Well, we end with Debbie and Tim. They question Chantel's open sexuality. Tim says he thought it was a little weird that she went on that motorcycle with a piece of duct tape over her coochie. He's a pretty judgmental motherfucker.
Yeah, he is. And he's also like, I don't know. I don't want to say Lisa Vanderpump vibes, but he's just like, speaking on how beautiful Chantel is, he's like, I mean, your face is so attractive already, so I don't know why. It's Tim. Why are you talking to people the way that you do? It's so bizarre. And he dresses like, I don't know, like if Ryan Gosling in Drive was also in a circus. Like, it's just the most confusing thing.
When does Matt Sharp lower himself to just putting all these people in a house and hand them weapons and just say, we're filming?
Weapons and alcohol. Here you go.
2028.
Honestly, what would be more exploitative? That or 1,000-pound sisters? I don't know.
Have you seen 1,000-pound sisters?
Just a 12-minute clip on YouTube.
Okay, it's not exploitative. They have done a lot of good in their lives. They've got gastric bypass surgery. They've gotten money so that the next generation hopefully won't suffer the toils of obesity.
Yeah,
and they're hilarious.
Okay, good.
You're hilarious?
Bitch, you're just thirsty.
All right, I think that was fun. So now it's time to get to the, as the kids call it, the tea. Chris had mentioned a couple little details earlier, and I was blown away because sometimes horrible things happen to cast members on reality TV shows. Famously, I remember like one of the Real Houses, a guy, well, he's 21. His mother dies while he's in the house and he chooses to stay filming. And I'm always blown away by this. And then, so sorry to throw to Chris, there's a cast member on this season of Single Life that his son had a horrible accident and he chose to still be involved in the show. Yeah.
Did he?
Yes. Because he wants nothing but fame. I'll tell you this right now. I am not like, there are none of the bloggers in this world that do a lot of like deep diving into like the controversial stuff and like they try and like insert themselves like, you know, people like hang around Angela. John Yates is his name. I don't care. But anyway, God bless. Basically, I am just like on Instagram doing my own due diligence, my own Sherlock Holmesies. So during Single Life, as we know, Natalie has been there with Josh. And Josh, we know, as being a head manager of models and talent, where he has basically like Barbizon or like John Robert Powers, like early 90s modeling competitions that people pay money.
Yep.
So weird.
They pay money to meet agents and scouts, and then they meet them and they say, you know, yes or no, like Potty's Patty's finger, you're fat.
I thought you said Asians. I was like, Asians?
No, like agents. What? Yeah, like, you know, and then he gets to be like, you're fat, you're skinny, you're ugly, or whatever. Just get out of it. They take your money or no. Or maybe.
And you need new headshots.
Yeah, exactly. Or lessons. And they all have kickbacks. It's all a thing. Like, what? There's like no modeling happening in Florida. I mean, like, what is what? I mean, sorry, pal. You know, so anyway, basically, that's off the sale. She met Natalie or whatever. And Natalie now moves to LA. So Josh has been living the entire time in Arizona, but also like pretends to have a place. And they say in Santa Monica. And then we saw this whole fucking rigmarole how they pretend to show her a place near his house in Santa Monica. But then she lives in Long Beach. We never talk about it for the rest of the time. So confusing. Yeah. Josh, we met his ex-wife slash the baby mom. He has kids with this woman season one. And all the streets was like, that's who he's still with. He's very much with that woman. He's never not been with this woman. She's like this blonde lady. We met her. So
where'd you meet her?
Season one. What if I was like Target?
I met her
at Target. I know. So we met her season one. I'm like the collective we, the Nosotros. You know.
The Pesotros.
Yeah. This is what happens in the middle of the season. Josh's child, this is horrible, unfortunately, suffers an accident, my loves. I forgot what it is. Boating accident? I'm not quite sure. But he's in a coma and he has to like let go of a leg. Now, when this happens, Josh is posting every 10 minutes, updates about it, show like either reposting what his wife said or saying, thank you for the prayers, thank you for the things. He's out of the, I mean, it's a lot of like every hour posting. It's on his Instagram feed and it's on his stories. On his feed, I'm like, holy shit, what's Natalie saying? Natalie's all over Instagram. Mostly Natalie's Instagram is like, I got this free demo plane from this Long Beach doctor. Look at him. You know, it's a lot of the kind of posts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Natalie on this post about his son, there is not nary one comment, not one little praying hands comment, not one like crying eyes emoji. It could have been anything. Okay. I'm like, what? That's crazy. Wow. So then I go to her Instagram. She's not even following him. He is not following her. Okay. Cut to, obviously we see what happens with her and Mike. We've discussed what year that could possibly have been in. Now we're in the tell-all. Another great question would be like, when they film the tell-all, you know, because obviously the tell-all happens and now they want us to think that Natalie is with Josh again. That Josh, in fact, called up and he said he wanted a second chance. So,
Well, you guys watched part two already, did you not?
No.
You haven't? No.
Okay. Sorry. Because I paused for 20
proposal,
seconds.
A first ever proposal on a tell-all.
Quick question. Oh my fucking God.
You're welcome.
Can I ask, if Natalie was following Josh, do you think she would have said anything?
Wants a child?
Yeah.
This woman wants a child, her whole life wants to have a baby, and this man's baby that she supposedly loves might die, and she won't even give him a friendly crying eyes / praying hands emoji on Instagram?
Yeah,
she's a horrible person, but he is too. And
MJ would be very upset. You know, she really lives and dies on Instagram. MJ, Traders, Shaw's the Sunset. Sorry.
Oh,
do you guys watch Traders?
He
does.
I am so just blown away. I'm sorry. We have to get Kate on the show because I want to talk to her about why she threw that green bag. I don't think that made any sense at all. Poor MJ. And then MJ to not realize, and I think that the contestants will get wiser as we go along, but Ruby is a challenge veteran. You cannot trust these people as far as you can throw them. She had to have seen that coming. Trishelle and CT were going to slit her fucking throat the entire way home. She was just too naive to it. Okay. Sorry, I can talk about traitors.
Dylan, do you think that they plan the entire thing, that the seat, like, you know how, like, obviously Trishelle voted for MJ at first and then changed her vote? I think they orchestrated the entire thing, that she always knew that she was going to vote for CJ and get MJ out. I think she tried to give MJ a bone there to make it look less, like, more blood on her hands. Huh. You know what I'm saying?
I love that theory. I think it all could have happened in real time. I think they have a scumbag kind of telepathic communique between themselves. I don't know, but my heart goes out to MJ because she could have had a bag, but CG and Trishelle ripped it away from her. I mean, it's a marvelous television
show. I think we're going to recap season 3.
Yeah, we have. Whenever that comes out. We absolutely have.
Feels like the second season really picked up steam on people catching on to that show.
People were wise in the first season, and then the second season, it was just an undeniable freight train of marvelous dramatic television.
I had not seen season 1, and I could not believe, as a reality show watcher, how much money it looked like they spent on season 2. I couldn't get over the challenges. I couldn't get over the locale. I couldn't get over how much all their clothes. It just looked like they had billions and billions of dollars in this budget. Dude,
that one challenge where they were in that cabin in the woods, and they, oh my gosh, that was so good. Holy moly. Go
the birds.
the birds. Subscribe to DocuSweeties. Go leave 5 stars. Tell them that Bad TV sent you. Mm-hmm. Listen to us at Bad TV. And enjoy your life.
Why don't we real quick, just so we help out both shows, why don't you guys let us know what shows you're covering right now, and then we'll say what shows we're covering. What shows are you covering?
Sounds good. Go ahead.
Right now we're covering Love is Blind on our Patreon only. Then we're doing 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. We're also doing any cool docu-series that you guys may have seen that's coming out. Something that I'm currently interested in is the Nickelodeon documentary where it talks about Dan Schneider and all of his to-dos. We haven't talked about it yet, but that's what I'm looking at to tell Chris that we probably should be doing. We normally do Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup, but they're on a hiatus right now, so it might be like Judy Loves Brat or, you know, Mama June on WeTV at this moment. But when that comes back, we'll be doing it. Chris, did I miss anything?
No.
Great. We're covering Vanderpump Rules. We're just wrapping up Single Life. We also covered Love is Blind. That is also behind the paywall, patreon.com/anotherpodcastnetwork. And of course, we cover Below Deck, all on the Bad TV podcast feed.
Love you guys very much. Juan and Chris, you guys are so fun to do a podcast, but thank you so much.
Samesy. We love you guys so much. Ruby, you're awesome. We're so happy to hear that you are fostering a dog and you they haven't found you yet, honey. And you have one more night of freedom left before you
know. I'm so sorry, Rubes. Just big hugs tonight for Ruby.
Thank you. Then again, thank you all for lifting me today.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody have a good rest of your week. Love you all.
Bye.
Thank you so much.